You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Monday evening on our program, the Q&A, Yawm al-Thulatha, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, 1442, which is also the 20th of July, 2021. Our Zakat Nisab, 7,600 Rand. Mehre Fatimi, 19,000 Rand. Manamam Mahar for Hanafis, 390 Rand. For Malikis, 130 Rand. For Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no Manamam Mehar. Our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Our beloved Ustad's email address is akhussain@gmail.com. That is akhussain@gmail.com. Our beloved Ustad's website is muftiakhussain.net. That is muftiakhussain.net. Our beloved Ustad's Twitter account is @AK Hussain. That is @AK Hussain. Let's welcome our beloved engineers this evening. Of course, Brother Lokolo here in Lanesia and the other engineer in the Durban studios. We welcome our beloved listeners of Al Ansar International, our beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and Company. And of course, we welcome our beloved listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Let's welcome our beloved senior Ustad Ali this beautiful evening. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Listeners, says Ustad, when does the takbir Eid start and end? And they want to know what are the virtues of fasting on the day of Arafat. Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The takbir in South Africa, Southern Africa, many other countries, Pakistan and so forth, will start, remember, tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. So the day of Arafat. So by us, tomorrow is the day of Arafat. So after Fajr, inshallah. So you will read for 23 salats. So on the 9th, all 5 salats, you read loudly. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And why we read that? To glorify Almighty Allah's name, because Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has blessed us with the greatest bounty, and that is the wealth of Iman and Islam. And Almighty Allah has mentioned this in the noble Quran, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. And you must glorify Almighty Allah's name, because He granted you this guidance and this hidayat. Chapter 22, Surah Hajj, verse number 38. So therefore we see verse 37 and verse 38 also continues. So this is chapter 22 and verse 37. And the hadith is mentioned in Tabarani, Zayyinu a'yadakum bitakbir. Beautify your Eid with takbir. So it shows we should be reading that. And according to the Hanafis, it is wajib. And according to majority scholars, Shafi'is, Malikis, Ambalis, it is sunnah. So we start on the tomorrow, that is after Fajr, and it will continue till the 13th, so that is Saturday, remember. So Fajr, Zohar and Asr, so 23 for Salats. But remember, after each Salat also, it's good to read the Takbir. The congregation, when the Imam makes Salam, read at least once, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahilhamd. And remember, the men will say the takbir at tashriq, as it is known, so loudly and audibly. And the females, you will say it softly. You won't raise your voice like the men. So always remember that as well, you, my mothers and sisters. So that's one issue. Second issue regarding the fast of Arafat. So we are here, tomorrow is our day of Arafat. And remember, if a person kept fast today and is fasting tomorrow, so that's very good. You didn't keep fast today and you want to fast tomorrow, so that's also totally permissible. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahtasibu ala Allah ayyukafira sanat al-madiya wal-baqiya. That I hope and expect Almighty Allah Jalla wala to forgive 2 years' sins, the previous year and the following year. This is authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. However, 2-3 points here I want to elaborate. Number one is this, that any one of us, we have qada fast from the time we became baligh and mature. So rather tomorrow you keep qada fast. Make the intention tonight and make intention of qada. Then some of you want to short circuit it. You say, okay, I will make intention of qada and of Arafat. Remember, that is not permissible according to majority scholars. And then remember that Eid, yeah, in South Africa is on Wednesday. So tomorrow night is also a very, very important night. And we should not waste our time and so forth. Laylatul Eid. So the nights of Eid also have significance. The hadith in Targhib wa Tarhib. The hadith in various compilations. So therefore, we should make qadr and appreciate all these beautiful, wonderful Quran says, Wal Fajri wa Layalin Ashr. So tomorrow night will be the night of the 10th. So Allah took a qasam on the first 10 nights of Zulhijjah. So we all can understand the importance and significance of it.
So Ustad, which are the days for slaughtering Qurbani, Ustad?
Remember that for us in South Africa, Southern Africa, Wednesday will be Eid. So we have Wednesday, we have Thursday, we have Friday. Till Friday before Maghrib we must be finished. And that is the verdict of the Hanafis, of the Malikis, of the Hanbalis. All of them agree. The only Imam who says you can slaughter on the Saturday the 13th, is Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. For you the students and honorable ulama, there's a wonderful, beautiful book which I have, alhamdulillah, Al-Masailul Lati Infarada Biha Al-Shafi'i Duna Ikhwatihi. Those masalas and fatwas where Imam Shafi'i is one side and the other three imams on the other side, Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Malik. So this is one of them. So we must be finished either on the 10th, 11th, 12th before Maghrib. 13 to slaughter, not permissible. Only Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah allows that. So we will say rather you practice on what majority scholars say, and that is better. And remember, you know, there's no controversy and no doubt and so forth and so on. And remember, the sooner you slaughter, the more reward also there is. فَصْوَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنَحَرْ. Surah 108, Surah Kawthar. After you have performed your Eidul Adha Salat, then you must sacrifice. Sacrifice the camel, sacrifice the cow, sacrifice the bull, sacrifice the goat, the sheep, whatever. So in that way there, mashallah, you will receive the optimum, maximum reward. بِكُلِّ شَعَرَةٍ حَسَنًا. For every hair on that animal, you will receive the reward. The hadith is authentic in Musnad Ahmad.
Somebody wants to know here, Ustad, must we close our shops on the day of Eid, Ustad?
Remember that to close the shops on the day of Eid al-Fitr, that is the first of Shawwal, or on the 10th of Zulhijjah, Eid al-Adha, we will say is meritorious, virtue is good, more so if you have Muslim employees working for you and so forth. But we must also be fair to all parties. If the person does not close the shop, he goes for the Eid Salat, and then one brother, for example, goes, does the qurbani, the other brothers go to shop, so that will be totally permissible, and your income will be totally halal. There is no problem with that, not makruh, nothing of that, so they're totally permissible. However, as a suggestion, this is a suggestion, one is iftar, the fatwa we issue and give you. One is irshad, the advice we give you. So this is mimbabin nasiha, mimbabil irshad. So if you have Muslim employees and non-Muslim employees, so tell the non-Muslims to come, and the Muslims remember that you give them off and so forth. Or you adjust it, one eat, this person takes off, next eat, the others take off, something like that. But remember that if you keep your shop open, there's no sin upon you, and the income will be halal, and there's no problem with that as well.
084-786-3132, that's our WhatsApp number. Somebody says, yo, Ustad, how do women recite Qunut Nazila, Ustad?
Excellent question. You must remember Qunut Nazila. If you study Bukhari Sharif and so forth, and all the Hadith Kitab, famous Hadith Kitab, Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad and so forth, you will find several Ahadith regarding this issue. When a musibah, a calamity befalls this Ummah, like South Africa, so 5 days, 6, 7 days, you must remember, go ask the people in Durban, go ask the people in Phoenix, go ask the people in Amzinto and so many other places, and yeah, in Gauteng and so forth. So in Soweto, go see what happened. Go and see in other parts what happened. So only Allah protect us. For Allahu khairun hafidha wa warhamur rahimin. Chapter 12, Surah Yunus, verse 64. Allah Jalla wa'ala is the best protector. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin. And He is the most merciful one to show mercy. He is the most merciful one to show mercy. So remember, for you, sister, so when you study the ahadith in Bukhari Sharif, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who is the Ravi, the reporter, he states that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Qunut in Fajr and Maghrib Salat. So if you want, you can read it Fajr time, Maghrib time, all permissible, but normally we say Fajr time. So you will read, my sister, my brother, 2 rakat sunnats as normal. Then you will read your first salat. Your first rakat, normal. Your second rakat, when you go into ruku. After performing your ruku, now when you are upright, you are standing. That will be called qawma. So then you read the words, Allahumma adina fi man adait, wa afina fi man afait. If you do not know this dua, any dua you read in Arabic, all the Rabbanas you know, read it. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasanata wa qina adhab an-nar, wa'fu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna, anta maulana, fansurna ala al-qawmil kafirin. And according to Hanafis, your hands will be on your side. And according to Shafi's Ambali Zanem, you pick up your hands like how you pick them up in dua. So that also is very, very good. So these are things that are flexible issues. When you are finished with your dua, then you say Allahu Akbar and you go straight into the sajda. So that is called Qunut Nazila for the ladies also to do so. But remember, we the men, we read it loudly. I am the imam, and for example, and I'm making Qunut, so I read it loudly. But you, the women, you will read it softly and inaudibly. You won't read it loudly. So that are the slight differences, but very, very good. We will encourage that throughout the world. You can see how many problems the Ummah are facing. We're going to celebrate Eid, inshallah, on Wednesday. Who is there in Yemen for the yatim and the orphans? Who is there in Syria for the refugees? Who is there in Kashmir against the idol worship? Day in India, remember, some places they're not even allowing them to slaughter and sacrifice the cow and so forth. Who is there for them in Palestine against the Jutlas and the apartheid regime of Israel? So if you just go and look around, that whatever happens, we are still fortunate. Alhamdulillahi alladhi afani mimma btalaka bihi. Ya Allah, we praise you that you kept us under afia, safety, comfort, security, compared to the other people. people who went to so many trials. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. And Allah Ta'ala gave us virtue over majority of the people in the world. So the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. So we should read and learn this type of du'as as well.
Listener says, Ustad, what's the latest in Palestine?
Remember, the latest in Palestine is yesterday, Sunday, over 1,500 Jutlas, Jews, apartheid Jews, remember, went into Masjid al-Aqsa and they were singing their anthem and so forth, desecrating Masjid al-Aqsa. And remember the first statement that came from the Prime Minister's office, Bennett. So he said, yes, they also got a right to go into and pray and all that. But as I always tell you, and the Quran makes reference to that, layyam bi al-sinatihim, when the jutla, the Jew speaks, they speak with a forked tongue. They will tell you they want peace, P-E-A-C-E, but they will steal and occupy more pieces of land there in Palestine, P-I-E-C. E-S. Every day they're doing this, you can see that for the past 73 years, occupying more and more land of the Palestinians, which is illegal and a war crime. According to the United Nations reporter, you can check it up, 10 days ago or so, that he released his report. Now you see, when the Muslim countries, Turkey, Egypt, Jordan, some other countries, they raised big objections and told them, how can you do this? He said, no. I meant that they got the right of visitation. You see how they twist their words? You must remember Israel now, as I speak to you, 2021. They also are very, very frightened because the coalition is 8 parties. And one party must just pull out, the whole coalition will fall apart. Second one, they know the previous conflict or whatever you want to call it. They got the good thrashing from Hamas, just like Americans got the good threshing from Taliban, and they had to pack up with their tails between their legs and run. So they, Hamas and our Muslims, told them that fear element is gone. We no more fear you. If you going to every day go into Aqsa and trouble and intimidate the Muslims, now you're provoking us. So therefore they keep on changing their tune. So the time is up. Remember that Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, the founder of Hamas, rahimahullah, Allah Jalla Wala grant him the highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Ariel Sharon, the war criminal, sent missile and there to murder him and became a martyr, a paraplegic. Remember that there is also another crime they committed. He passes away a martyr, and Ariel Sharon is punished in this world, and wallahi today also he's punished. 8 years, Almighty Allah put him into Sakarat. Why I'm telling you this, Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, rahimahullah, this is not some wahi, there's no wahi after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's just inspiration they receive and so forth. So we don't say really definite, certain, no, we don't say. I'm telling you his opinion. He said by 2027, there will be no Israel left. And you can see things are going in that direction. This integration of America, 66%, 67% plus minus of the Republicans want to secede and withdraw from the state of America, so they want their own country. Once America is divided like the United Nations, Israel falls, and then the tinpot Arab dictators one by one will start falling. That is the system of Almighty Allah. Innal batil kana zahuqa. Verily, anybody who's on batil, falsehood, they must perish, and no one can change it. Remember that.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. So Ustaz, can we give Qurbani meat to non-Muslims? Or can we sell it to Ustaz?
Remember that to sell the Qurbani meat is haram according to all schools. You can't be selling Qurbani meat. Likewise, you can't be using people that you tell them, help us here, skin the animal, skin the hide, skin this and so forth, and chop it up and so forth and all that, slice it. Then you give them Qurbani meat, or you give them the hide or the skin, and lieu of their labor and service services rendered, not from Masjid al-Haram to do that. So you can't be selling it, you can't be giving it in exchange of labor and services rendered. Yes, you give it to Muslim, non-Muslim, rich or poor, so remember that's permissible according to the Hanafi school. According to the Shafis, Hanbalis and them, they say no. Whether it is Qurbani, whether it's Aqiqah, that must be given to Muslims only, rich or poor. But you cannot give Qurbani meat to non-Muslims, nor Aqiqah meat to non-Muslims. That is the fatwa and the verdict of the Shafi'is. So remember, you mothers, sisters, that you now, you slaughtered two sheep or what? You say, I tobo haru. So let us open a small butcher now, and you start selling meat and all that. It's haram to do that. You can't do it. It's not permissible.
So why we in South Africa, Ustad, we don't follow Saudi for the moon and have Eid with them tomorrow, Ustad?
Remember that today was the day of Arafat, and it rained there last night at about 11 o'clock. It rained this morning also there. So Allah Ta'ala's mercy came to a certain extent. I am in contact with one of our friends there, mashallah, who is performing Hajj. So he gives us updates. There are 60,000 Hajis, 150 countries, and the people who are living in the kingdom. So they are performing Hajj. Tomorrow will be Eid al-Adha in Saudi Arabia, Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, Aqsa Mubarak, majority of the Arab countries, and so forth and so on. Just now, before the program, subhanallah, it's almost 11 o'clock when I got through, and Hazrat Mufti Rizal Haqsab, our Honorable Ustad, his son Rashid, sent the message. He said, phone now, then you can speak to my father. So subhanallah, I had a nice chat 5 minutes with Hazrat Mufti Rizal Haqsab, and one of the questions I asked, Hazrat, aapke ya Eid kab hai, when is Eid? So he said, also Wednesday. I said, yes, I was also Wednesday. So let me explain to you, many brothers, they ask, and sisters, and people. So many countries got Eid tomorrow, and that is Tuesday. And we, South Africa, Southern Africa, Pakistan, many other countries, Mauritius, all that, we got Wednesday Eid, right? So now the question people ask, leave all the politics and all that, I'm giving you an academic answer. So remember that, why don't we accept the moon that is sighted there in Saudi? Why we don't accept? I don't know if you know their track record. You see, if you go to Kapstadt, Cape Town, you got the Mankakers, you got the Moonsamis. We in South Africa, we are the most organized country in the world. Listen carefully to me. For that, we salute you in Cape Town. We salute the forefathers who started the Mankakers. They had a conference in Jordan many years ago. Not one Arab country, not one Muslim country could show for every month they are sighting the moon and so forth. Our brothers who attended the conference showed them for South Africa, we can give you the details for the past 70 years. They had to hang their heads in shame and look down. Arab countries, Muslim countries, not one of them had that. And South Africa had it, remembered it. So why do we not follow Saudi, and why do we not accept their sighting? That is the question. I don't know how much you know, so let me just enlighten you a little bit. In 19, you can Google it and see. 1984, Ramadan, they had only 28 days. You know, in Islam, the minimum amount of days you can have in an Islamic month is 29, and maximum is 30. They said, no, we made mistake. On the day of Eid, they told the imams must announce that tomorrow after Eid or whenever, you must make one day qaza. Imagine if a thing like that happens in South Africa, they'll make Qurbani of the Maulana, you know, so this type of things here. So remember, hey people, it's fine, you understand, mistake. So 28 days they had Ramadan fast in 1984. 2004, you must remember, after 3 days, 4 days, they changed the date, you must remember, for Hajj. Why? They said, no, one Bedouin saw it there in the jungle and forest and all. Fairy tale story, you understood. So after 3 days or so, we were there present. I'm not giving you fairy tales. Remember that. I don't know if you know how the calendar works there. So we were in a conference, 15, 16 ulama, South Africa, other countries, we were invited and so forth and so on. I'm giving you another 2-3 incidents. So it will wake you up and teach you what I'm telling you. So you must remember that I posed this question to who? To the Grand Mufti, Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah Ali Sheikh, who is the Grand Mufti currently. So he's also blind. Sheikh bin Baz Rahimahullah was also blind. So anyway, I asked him that how do the Hilal and the system works by you? He says 8-9 months we don't sight. So imagine the Grand Mufti say we don't look for the moon. And his words I'm quoting to you verbatim, he said Laysa fiha ahkamun. In these 8-9 months there's no laws actually, so we don't have to really sight. So Ramadan according to him they sight, Shawwal they sight, Zulhijjah they sight, and so forth and so on. Now see what happens because of them not sighting. You know when Zulhijjah finishes, then which month come? Muharram, 1442. So when Muharram starts, is 1443 after the Hijrah. So we were in Riyadh with a delegation, ulama and others and so forth. So we visited two of the greatest, most senior ulama in the kingdom. So the Sheikh, a Grand Mufti, and we visited Sheikh Salih Luhaydan. So this is the Grand Mufti, Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah Ali Sheikh. I am present, I am there, not hearsay and all that. And we posed the question. And then Sheikh Salih Luhaydan, Ra'isul Quzat, that he is the Chief Justice, the most important justice, judge and so forth. So they invited us for a course, for Qazi and Qaza and all these type of things. That time the Muslim personal law thing was very big and all that. So they said, okay, you come, and they called us, fine. So we asked them that now Muharram has started, after Hajj we had to go there. So we asked them that which day is Ashura? I don't remember the exact day, but I'm just using example. So he, the Grand Mufti, said Wednesday. This Wednesday coming, for example, that is Ashura. Then when we went after 2-3 hours or whatever to the Grand Judge, to the Chief Justice, the big Mufti, the big judge rather, we finished with the Mufti. Now we went to the Chief Justice, Sheikh Salih Luhaydan. He said, no, Thursday. So we looked at, these are the two biggest ulama, sheikhs, whatever you want to call them. One is Grand Mufti, one is Chief Justice. Both in Riyadh, both telling us different things. So I am posing this question to you. So how can we rely on their judgments and so forth regarding the moon? Definitely not. Remember this. Even now you must remember that their system works like this. That every month you must remember that they work with the taqweem. Taqweem means that they work if the sun, the before sunset, listen carefully to my words, before sunset, right? If the birth of the moon takes place, you watch now for Muharram, same thing will happen. So when before 29th of Zulhijjah, according to them, so if the birth of the moon takes place before sunset, then the next day automatically is the first. Yeah. Whether it's 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, or whatever. So they're working more like that. That's exactly how the Jews work. You must remember that. That's exactly how the Jews work. You must remember. So when the conjunction, they call it in technical terms, when the birth of the moon takes place before sunset, then remember the next day is the first. So for that 8-9 months they work like that. And then Ramadan time comes, they have sighting. Eid time they have sighting. Zulhijjah they are supposed to have sighting. So how can we ever accept that system? So therefore my and best part, I asked him for the Grand Mufti, Sheikh Mara Yuka, yani nahnu min junubi Africa and all that, we write down, you know, we far away. He said, my advice to all of you who are far, far away from here, لِكُلِّ بَلَدٍ رُؤْيَتُهُمْ, that for every country you must have your own sighting, and you follow your own sighting, you don't follow us. So that's exactly what I'm telling you. So therefore, we have no confidence at all in the Saudi sighting, and therefore we don't make Eid tomorrow, but we will make Eid on Wednesday. And all this year, remember, you can go check it up on Google and so forth. This is their fatwa, and that is what they tell us also. So therefore, we must remember this business of saying, no, we must. People tell me now how many Arafat there are. You see, two questions I ask. When Ramadan comes, people say, now Laylatul Qadr is one night or two nights? I say, it's one night. So you say, yeah, but they got the Laylatul Qadr on Monday night, and we got Tuesday night. When is Arafat? So we say Arafat day was Tuesday, Monday, and by us is Tuesday. They had it today, Monday, and we got it on Tuesday, right? So how many Arafat? There are one. So my answer to them, how many suns they are? S-U-N. So how come the sunrise, sunset is all different?
SubhanAllah.
So you must remember that. So I'm speaking to you now. So you must remember, if you go to New Zealand, it is already sunrise day, it's already morning there. So it's one sun. So how the sun everywhere it rises, sets different times. So similarly with this, what objection you got? So all these are flimsy arguments people bring. You must remember, we must follow the Sharia, and we don't follow people who are reckless and careless regarding the sighting of the moon.
Well, there you heard it. 24 minutes to 9 o'clock.